Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen. Counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio
Countdown. That's one thing George Bush said that was right. The president is the decider in chief. Nobody can make that decision for you. Look, he knew what would happen. Suppose the Navy SEALs had gone in there and it hadn't been Bin Laden. Suppose they'd been captured or killed. The downside would have been horrible for him. But he reasoned. I cannot in good conscience do nothing. He took the harder and the more honorable path. And the one that produced, in my opinion, the best result. He had to decide. And that's what you hire a president to do. You hire the president to make the calls when no one else can do it.
Here's President Bill Clinton, the latest campaign ad for President Obama, talking about the decision to send the SEALs into Pakistan to take out Osama bin Laden. The one-year anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden is where we get started in this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen. From MSNBC, Alex Wagner talks to former CIA covert operations officer Mike Baker about recent terror alerts and the possibility of attacks coinciding with its anniversary.
On the one-year anniversary of the killing of bin Laden, Mike, I wanted to talk to you about the threats that America now faces. And there's been a lot of discussion about whether or not al-Qaeda has basically been untangled, so whether the spider's web has been untangled enough for us to sort of lean back and breathe a sigh of relief. The Wall Street Journal today makes the point that addressing the U.S. interests in the Far East is important, but not if it means losing focus on America's most pressing danger zone, the arc running from North Africa to the Middle East and South Asia. That is the heart of al-Qaeda's territory. Very much saying that al-Qaeda is alive and well, but just in different parts of the world. What do you make of that?
Well, it's true. And, you know, a year on from bin Laden's death, you know, the big question you tend to hear a lot is are we safer now? Or is al-Qaeda, are they done for? And, you know, al-Qaeda has been morphing for years into a different animal. And they've flattened out their organization in part because we've had a lot of success in degrading their leadership. And they've got, at times, it seems, a bottomless well of potential recruits. What they don't have usually is they don't have well-trained, committed, hardline people at the sort of the lieutenant and above level. So you take out the leadership, and it takes longer for them to morph into, you know, additional new, fresh leadership that can take them places. But, you know, you could argue that Iraq and Afghanistan in particular, you know, outsized reaction to the threat in the sense that, you know, shortly after spring of 2002, al-Qaeda and the elements involved that got us there in the first place had already dissipated. They'd gone off to different areas.
Mike, I want to know what you make of how the president is, the president's national security policy and his counterterrorism actions. Mm-hmm. The drone strikes are certainly one piece of that. A New York Times op-ed yesterday by Peter Bergen calls the president the warrior in chief and makes the point that beyond al-Qaeda, he overthrew Gaddafi, obviously the drone attacks in Pakistan, covert wars in Yemen and Somalia, a threefold increase in the troop levels in Afghanistan, and of course the authorized assassination of Anwar al-Awlaki, a U.S. citizen. Is President Obama, and he continues to battle this sort of public impression that he's this deliberative professor. Is President Obama more of a hawk than perhaps he's given, I don't know if the word is credit, but credit for?
Right. No, understood. Certainly, I think, you know, in terms of, you know, sort of the left that brought him into office with hopes that all of that would just go away, I think, yes, he's certainly far more committed to following certain course of action than they would have ever anticipated. You have to give him credit. You mentioned the drone campaign. That's been a very critical part of this global war on terror. Going into Somalia, dealing with high-value targets in Yemen, again, kind of goes back to that point that we were talking about in terms of how al-Qaeda has dissipated, moved off to different areas. So you have to, where possible, you have to chase them down and deal with it. But it does take an administration that's willing to say, yes, this is what we're going to do.
Coming up, more on the death of bin Laden as it becomes a campaign issue. That's up next here on the Talk Radio Countdown.
Are you struggling each month to make ends meet? Could an extra $1,000 help you out today? Would restructuring your credit card debt into a lower, more manageable payment make life easier? Well, there is hope. A national consumer advocacy network comprised of lenders and professional credit advisors is ready to help you. Just text the word FREE to 20300 for instant information on programs that can help you. Text the word FREE to 20300 right now. Message and data rates may apply.
Now you can get a $20 store gift card offer at your auto parts store just for returning your used motor oil and buying Valvoline NextGen, made from recycled oil.
I'm doing it for the environment.
You did hear me, right? A $20 offer for returning your used oil and buying NextGen oil.
I'm doing it for my engine.
That's great, but you still get a $20 offer for returning your used oil and buying NextGen.
Well, I'm doing it for the $20 offer.
Return used oil, buy NextGen, get a $20 offer. Close the loop with Valvoline NextGen oil. Close the loop at your nearest major auto parts store. Go to Valvoline.com to learn more.
Guys, discomfort and chafing from wetness-related friction can hit any time. Get relief and prevent it, too, with Gold Bond Medicated Foot Powder for your feet and body powder for your, you know. Whether you're working out or just holding down the couch, you're a guy. And unlike baby powders, Gold Bond's got the medicated formulas to fight itch, odor, and wetness. Plus, it's got that cooling kick that lets you know it's working wherever. Keep it cool with Gold Bond Medicated Foot and Body Powders. It's a guy thing. Use as directed.
Some nights I can't get to sleep. Some nights I can't stay asleep. With Unisom, I can do both.
Unisom sleep tabs are clinically proven to help you fall asleep 33% faster and keep you asleep longer, so you get a more restful night's sleep. Made with an ingredient not found in other leading sleep aids, Unisom sleep tabs are safe and non-habit forming. Just one pill takes the uncertainty out of bedtime, giving you the sleep you need.
So I wake up ready to go.
Unisom sleep tabs. Fall asleep faster. Sleep longer.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. First, she'll crawl. Then take her first baby steps. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school. I'll be watching her run down a soccer field. Staying up all night waiting for her to get home from her first date. Wincing when she steps on the gas pedal and then the brakes. Beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma. Or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Gather your family, friends, and co-workers and join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
This is Talk Radio In Review, a daily overview of the hot hits in talk radio. And we have in our sights now the one-year anniversary of the death of Osama bin Laden. Here's host Nick Reed talking about President Obama's campaign, claiming that Mitt Romney wouldn't have given the order to take out bin Laden.
Obama campaign advisor Robert Gibbs saying yesterday that the president's reelection campaign, or defended, rather, the re-election campaign's assertion that Mitt Romney might not have ordered the raid that killed bin Laden in Pakistan. Gibbs said on Meet the Press NBC, just a few years ago, President Obama, then a candidate, said in a speech that if we had actionable intelligence on a high-value target in Pakistan, we'd go in and get that high-value target. He goes on to say Mitt Romney said that was foolish, he wouldn't do such a thing. That he wouldn't move heaven and earth to get bin Laden. Gibbs hedged only slightly when pushed by David Gregory about whether President Obama believes that a President Romney under the same conditions and with the same intelligence wouldn't take that shot. Gibson says, I don't think it's clear that he would. Responded Gibbs. Again, he criticized Obama a few years ago when Barack Obama said if we had actionable intelligence about a high-value target, and let's be clear, nobody was bigger, nobody was more high-value than bin Laden. Now, the reason David Gregory was specific in his question here is because David Gregory knew that, Robert Gibbs has taken portions of speeches about different things, putting them together and you know, playing cut and paste. So that's why David Gregory asked a smart question. All right, well, let's see here. Let me ask a very specific question. Are you saying that President Romney, in the same situation, not cutting and pasting from speeches that he made about hypothetical different situations, whether he was right or wrong in that, but had the same intelligence in the same conditions as Obama, you're saying in that scenario, you believe Romney would not have taken that shot. To that, Gibbs said, well, I don't think it's clear that he would. Well, sure, that's true. It's not clear that he would because you don't have a crystal ball. I think most reasonable people argue that he would have done it. This is what it's come down to for Obama right now. They have so little for him to campaign on. 99% of the campaigning is going to be pointing the finger at other Americans, telling you that other Americans are bad. The successful are bad. The oil industry is bad. The wealthy who pay a vast majority of taxes are bad. This race of people is bad. This group of people is bad. You're a victim. You're a victim. You're not. You're not. And if Republicans get in there, they're going to kick the old people out. They're going to steal their Social Security. They're going to take away their Medicaid. They're going to take away their Medicare. All these horrible things. You're not going to hear a lot about what it is that Obama has done that you should reelect him for. He's simply going to try and convince you, whether it's true or not, that the other candidate's just worse than he is. But at this point, all that they can really grasp onto in terms of, look, here's something I've done, is the killing of bin Laden.
On Fox, Megyn Kelly talks to former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton about Mitt Romney's comments that he would certainly have given the order to go after bin Laden when he said the opposite as he was running for president 4 years ago.
Mitt Romney said back in 2008 when he was running for president, he criticized then-candidate Obama's statements that he would go into Pakistan if necessary to strike inside of Pakistan to take out bin Laden. And he said on August 3rd, 2007, I do not concur in the words of Barack Obama in a plan to enter an ally of ours. I don't think those kinds of comments help in this effort to draw more friends to our effort. He was asked about that comment 2 days later in a debate and told George Stephanopoulos, it is wrong for a person running for the president of the United States to go on TV and say, we're going to come into your country unilaterally. Of course, America maintains our option to do whatever we think is in the best interest of America, but we don't go out and say, ladies and gentlemen of i.e. Germany, if there's ever a problem in your country and we didn't think you were doing the right thing, we reserve the right to come in and get them out. Put it in perspective for us, Ambassador.
Well, I think in the context of a presidential campaign, obviously there's a lot that goes on. The full context of Governor Romney's statement made it clear there was no lack of enthusiasm for going after Obama. And indeed, I think the Obama campaign ad that discusses that really is kind of out of line. I was even more struck, though, here by the nature of the question and the opportunity it gave President Obama, which he took to make a political point in the middle of a bilateral press conference with the Japanese prime minister. Who was the second American who asked the question? I thought you had to be a reporter, not members of the White House staff. I just found that amazing.
You think that was that the president missed an opportunity to take the high road there?
To say the least, I mean, he was given a softball. I actually thought Prime Minister Noda's answer on the terrorism point was right on target. He said the death of bin Laden does not end the threat of terrorism, which is the White House narrative, and that the threat of terrorism continues and is indeed even expanding, as Prime Minister Noda pointed out, now to include cyber terrorism, a whole new realm of threats to the United States and our other friends and allies around the world.
The reporter seemed to be getting looking for a response to a comment Mitt Romney made as well earlier today, where he was asked in the wake of the president's re-election ad whether he would have taken the same actions in taking out bin Laden, and he said of course he would have, and he said, quote, even Jimmy Carter would have given that order. That seemed to be what he was referring to.
Up next, we shift gears to the latest from the campaign trail itself here on The Countdown.
And now another CentOS Game Changer with sports broadcaster Aaron Andrews.
I'm standing in the store of a major retailer in Boston with John, the regional manager. John, how do you have time to stay focused on your customers?
Well, a detailed playbook and support from a team of pros, like CentOS for fire protection.
Now, Cintas is known for uniforms, but their players in fire safety too?
They are. Cintas provides us with complete fire testing, inspection, and repair. Extinguishers, emergency lights, sprinklers, alarms.
The safety rulebook for retail stores is pretty strict. How does Cintas compete?
Well, I used to have to call a sprinkler guy, an alarm guy, basically a different guy for everything. But now with one call, Cintas ensures we meet all regulations.
Sounds like bringing in Cintas for fire safety was a winning move. For more, let's go to the booth.
Fire protection is one of many expert services Cintas can tackle for your business. Don't call multiple companies. Call 1-800-CINTAS-6 or visit Cintas.com/radio and tell them to bring in the team with the white truck.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Talk radio and talk television, talk media, are what we talk about, what's inside, if you will. And that includes the presidential race. Talk host Keith Larson, kind of caller, talking about George W. Bush out campaigning for Mitt Romney.
So if you're Mitt Romney and you're running against Barack Obama in November, are you going to have George W. Bush out campaigning for you?
All right. Well, you added if I was Mitt Romney, then yes, I would. If I was Mitt Romney, but as a voter, no, I don't think you should.
You're saying if you're Mitt Romney, you want George W. Bush out campaigning for you, but if you're you, Brian, a voter, you don't want George W. Bush campaigning for Mitt Romney.
Right.
That doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't. But sometimes politics don't make sense. But if, like, you just phrase the question, if I were Mitt Romney, yes, I would do. I would want to have anybody and everybody that try to get, you know, like all encompassing type of ordeal where everybody, you know, I get Newt Gingrich to Bill. You know, I would even have Bill Clinton. I mean,
you'd take anybody. So what you're saying is, anybody who would want to say, I want Brian for president, you'd want them out there saying.
That's what the impression I get with Mitt Romney.
Okay, well.
But as a voter, as from the outside, sitting back, looking at this whole circus thing, I say no. He needs to stand on his own two feet and say what I believe. And, you know, from Republicans to Democrats to moderates, they all look at, well, not all, but most of the people look at George Bush as being, you know, spending too much, stupid, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
I just don't understand. It seems like you've got sort of a Sybil thing going on, Brian, and I don't mean to be insulting in any way, but Brian as Mitt Romney wants George W. Bush campaigning for him, although Brian as Brian the voter would not like that. So you would do something as a candidate for yourself that you as a voter for yourself wouldn't like.
Talk host Matt Patrick and Lois Melkonian talking to Ron Paul here about his campaign plans after Mitt Romney won those five primaries last week and Newt Gingrich said he was going. So what about Paul?
Are you in it for the long haul? Is it going to be a two-man race by the time May 29th comes around in Texas?
Well, there's really not a whole lot left. There are only a few primaries left, and the numbers will be concluded soon. Well, we're really looking at is the process, because there are so many states that are working the delegate process. And, you know, just last weekend, all of a sudden, we did a lot better than people had anticipated, you know, winning certain states and doing very, very well in states like Iowa and Minnesota and Missouri and in the state of Washington. So I think it's a little premature to just drop out before we even know what the count is. I know what the numbers are and how difficult it is, but in theory, I mean, the race is still going on. But why walk away when they're in the process of counting votes? Just see how well we do, see how what kind of representation the freedom movement really has. So, yes, mm-hmm. It's going to continue for a while, yeah.
So, Congressman Pauling, one of the things you said just recently was it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. You think you can have it that way even at the convention, a knockdown, drag-out?
Well, I don't know whether that's the best description, because if you don't have the votes, there's not much to do, because the people who have the votes and the control do all the knocking down.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had to, you know, fight our way through so many of these states. Sometimes there's a state convention and they will exclude us, and we have to fight and get back in. And so it's a fight all along the way to compete with those who resent the fact that there's a lot of new people. The status quo seems to like to cling to their power, and if they see some young people coming in, and even if we have the majority vote, you know, there's resentment instead of saying, hey, this is wonderful, have a lot of new people. Sometimes we're met with a lot of opposition.
The Secret Service sex scandal still hot, and you're bothered when the Talk Radio Countdown Show continues in a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
On my journey to help save people money on car insurance, people have been really surprised to learn that GEICO can also help with renter's insurance. They're even more surprised when I tell them it costs as little as $12 a month. But perhaps what's most surprising is that I still live with my mum. Yeah, I know, I really should start thinking about renting my own place. But then I'd have to get my own tea kettle. Sofa, shower curtain, soap dish.
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
All right, cement's been floated. Hey, Flo, it's time to
pretend we're celebrities getting our stars.
No, it's time to trowel.
Oh, yeah, trowel. Definitely.
You want to write your name in it, don't you?
Maybe just a smiley face?
All right.
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. 24/7 live support, online bill pay, and expert claims. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company and Affiliates.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, camel milk. Camel milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and camel milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And camel milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under products and pricing for the spring special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
Counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Welcome back into the second half hour of this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show, with a Secret Service sex scandal still on the top of a lot of people's minds. Here's talk host Daryl Day with journalist Ron Hart. They talk about government spending running amok, and how nobody seems to question why it was necessary to have so many Secret Service agents in Colombia in the first place.
The new rules is that you can't party, you can't do anything, even for the single guys.
Yeah.
Well, what's that all about?
Well, not that you and I would
promote something like that, but the fact that, you know.
Yeah, well, people don't have private time, their time. I totally agree with that. My point in the column last week, when I wrote about it, I'll write about it again this week, was simply that, you know, they're staying in a 5-star hotel. They get down there a week before. There's 6,500 Secret Service agents, and there's one president. It's a bureaucracy that's going nuts. Like the GSA, who's that, you know, where their chairman, their head of the GSA, staying in a $2,000 a night hotel room in Las Vegas. My point is, how in the world can they not cut back 50% or 10% or even 1%? They won't cut back 1% on their budgets. And they're up there living large. I mean, I don't care if they want to get a hooker. I mean, it's their business. I mean, that's a moral issue, as long as it doesn't affect their work.
Yeah, how did we get 6,500 Secret Service agents? I mean, are the Obamas, and it's probably not just the Obamas, and I don't think it'd be fair to say, because I'm sure it didn't happen just under his administration. But when you have the wife and the president and his wife jetting off in different directions all the time to different faraway places, I mean, you have to have an advanced team, and I understand that. I'm sure you do. You have to have a team that maybe forensically looks at everything. Did we do everything right? But still, 6,500 Secret Service agents.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, the whole situation is ridiculous. What happens in government, as you know, if someone claims a noble goal, we're going to protect the president. Well, who can argue with that? You know, we're going to educate the kids. Well, who can argue with that? What happens is they build these bureaucracies around these noble ideas.
False benevolence.
People are going to, if you don't vote for education, you're in Tallahassee, you don't vote for the education bill. Oh, he's against education. He wants to starve the children. He wants to, we got to back up these politicians like Paul Ryan and other people who try to rationalize expenditures. Mm-hmm. Any bureaucracy, it's human nature to let something morph into something bigger and self-serving over time. Without any checks and balances, you know, I said in the comments, who checks the TSA and who investigates the FBI?
On CNN, Soledad O'Brien talks to Ron Kessler, a writer that broke the story on the scandal.
So are you saying that this is symptomatic? This scandal is really just symptomatic of a bigger problem of sloppiness at the Bureau?
Sure. That's the way organizations work. If the people at the top set a cultural tone that condones this corner cutting, that condones winking and nodding, that even condones dishonesty in some cases, for example, they ask agents to fill out their own test scores on physical fitness tests, then, of course, everyone just says, hey, we can do whatever we want. If they're idiots, which is what we saw in Colombia.
So when people would tell me, we had a number of guests who were very familiar with the Secret Service, and they would sit here and they would say, listen, this is absolutely not the culture of the Secret Service. This is a one-time thing. This is before, by the way, we started hearing about El Salvador and whether or not that sort of pans out to be bigger than it is known to be at the time. Do you think the issue is that this is a one-time thing, or is the issue that this is the one time they got caught in a very obvious way?
Now, I'm quite sure that this particular behavior is an anomaly, and the press reports have been mixing up parties and going to bars with this really egregious behavior. You know, after the president leaves, yes, they will have a party or go to a bar. So what? We all go to the parties. There's nothing wrong with that. When it comes to these rules, you know, it's as if these agents are kindergarten kids. The FBI has no rules like that. Their demands are, their duties are just as demanding. And I think if they don't have the judgment to stay away from prostitutes and not get drunk, then they certainly should not be agents.
Well, Ron, this is Will Cain. If this is an anomaly, as you just suggested, then how is it evidence of corner cutting? How is it evidence of some deeper cultural problems with the Secret Service? That's not really what an anomaly is.
If, you know, if in any organization, if your bosses are winking and nodding and violating basic procedures, such as letting people into events without magnetometer screening, then you may be more likely to say, hey, I can do whatever I want. You know, it's a very simple equation. It certainly doesn't work all the time, but that is the way organizations disintegrate, and that really is what's happening at the Secret Service. The agents themselves are very brave and dedicated. They'll take a bullet for the president. I know the FBI admires Secret Service agents more than any other law enforcement, but the management has been allowing this agency that once had high standards to disintegrate it into a shambles.
Do you think, I'm sorry, let me just ask you, so you're saying the leader of the Secret Service, Mr. Sullivan, should go?
Well, it's interesting. The more the Secret Service screws up, the more people come out to praise the director, Mr. Sullivan. It's quite a phenomenon.
Up next, let's see if we can work our way around the EPA's attack on the oil industry. You heard about that, so we'll get into it a little bit more in a moment on the countdown.
The Department of Defense commemorates the 60th anniversary of the Korean War. We are proud to present the following stories of those who served when their nation called. Major Frank Cohey, Jr., 2nd Infantry Division, 8th Army.
One of the bad things, we were sort of up in the mountain. Korea's pretty mountainous. And, of course, you know it gets colder. This was probably 40 degrees below zero weather. And the ice roads were icy. I was driving a 2.5-ton truck. It got so bad, I was slipping and sliding and getting fired at, too, from the side. I don't think that was the Chinese yet. I think that was some of the North Koreans. But in any case, I had to get out by myself. And if you've never put chains on a 2.5-ton truck in 40-degree below zero weather, you haven't had any fun.
See more hero stories at koreanwar.defense.gov.
The entire world watched. They watch each step down the rungs of that small ladder, one after another, and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
At that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible, and today the sky is not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at Value.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Behind on your payments or barely making minimums? Do your massive interest payments have you running like mad in circles?
How long can you keep it up? Stop running. Let the Thomas & Law Group carefully plan your escape. The Thomas & Law Group has proven itself for over 18 solid years, helping thousands of people like you and me reclaim our financial future. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and offices nationwide. And the best part? There are no upfront fees at all. You won't pay a dime until the job's done. No upfront costs, no monthly fees, no banking fees. No other law firm does that. I'm a paid spokesperson, not a lawyer, and every case is different. But really, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, call the Thomas & Law Group right away for a free, no-obligation consult with a trained legal analyst at 800-460-4690. Call now, because you're tired of running in circles. 800-460-4690. 800-460-4690.
Grandpa!
Hey, there he is.
What appearance. Sit down on the porch.
I love staying here. How long have you lived here?
A long time. You know, your mother grew up here.
I'm going to have a house like this when I grow up.
I hope so, buddy. I hope so.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Visit houselogic.com/homeownership to learn more.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Phil. I need a new putter.
Well, sure. They're on sale.
Yeah, I know. I read your email newsletter.
So how you hitting them?
Shot a 79 yesterday.
Oh, fabulous. You must be reading my newsletter tips.
79 over par.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to look at some drivers, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Email marketing from Constant Contact helps you create professional newsletters that really drive business. It's easy, and plans are as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial. ConstantContact.com.
Four! The hot hits in talk radio, the Doug Steffen approach to the conversation, the EPA attack on the oil industry is now front and center. Talk host Joe Pagliarulo with Congressman Kevin Brady of Texas about the comments from that EPA administrator about crucifying oil and gas companies as an example to others.
We wanted to talk about this EPA doofus who talked about crucifying the oil and gas companies. The quote was, in context, although it's a paraphrase, the quote was something to the effect of, my philosophy is, like the Romans did, you go in there and you crucify them. You go in there in a few days and you crucify a few of them, and a few days later, you've got control of them for a few years. This EPA administrator was talking about the oil and gas companies, and to use such terminology seems a little bit out of line for a government official.
Well, you think? I mean, here he is overseeing five of the key energy states in America, which, by the way, the only three states in America that have actually made back all their jobs from the recession are actually adding new workers are three energy states, Texas included. But this is, look, he's a hero to this White House and to the radical environmental left by crucifying oil and natural gas. I mean, he sees that as his job. Frankly, he's been extremely aggressive, even to the point where the courts have had to pour him out, basically saying, look, you've overstepped your bounds and overreached in a major way in the flexible permitting here in Texas. And, you know, we're going to launch an all-out attack, frankly, to replace him and get someone more balanced in there who actually is there to enforce fair, balanced regulations, not persecute a job-creating industry.
When the government went after Ted Nugent for saying let's ride in there in November and cut off their heads, what he meant was let's beat them in the election. He didn't mean he wanted to cut anybody's heads off. And people on the right, people who are conservative like me, like you, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. What I said immediately was, what are you, stupid? We can't be figurative with our language anymore. Everything that a Republican or a conservative says is literal. Yet the liberals can say anything that they want and get away with it. Are you going after him because he used the word crucify? If you are, he was not being literal, he was being figurative. Or are you going after him for doing a job or being in a position to where he's made the energy situation in this country exponentially worse? Which one is it?
It is because his words match to his deeds and have since Amendaris has been in office or in that administrator's position. He has aggressively gone after oil and natural gas and our refineries here in Texas, and the courts, even the federal courts, have knocked him back down, saying you've overreached. And so this isn't a figurative speech on his part. This is an attitude, and he's been very aggressive in doing this. That's why we're going after him. And truth is, most Americans just want someone who's pursuing balanced regulation that sees the need for clean air and clean water is balanced with the need for new, strong jobs. This guy clearly can't do that.
Radio man Ray Dunaway with Tom Pyle from the Industry for Energy Research about the government's common tactic of making an example of somebody and if what the administrator of the APA did went too far.
This guy was basically, and you know, it's not unusual. You'll notice around tax time, though I didn't notice it this year, is the EPA, is the IRS generally picks out somebody like Leona Helmsley or somebody like that and takes them to task for evasion of taxes or failure to file or something. It seems like that's a common tactic. You make an example of somebody, and then you find that everybody else kind of falls into line. And that's really what this guy was saying in the video, was he not?
He was, but, you know, he was so matter-of-fact about it, and the fact that the target is oil and gas industry, it was really telling, and I'm actually glad that it came out because it gave us, it gives people a good opportunity to see exactly how this industry is being treated by this administration across the board. And, you know, the real loser is us because ultimately as they continue to drive our industry out and move these companies overseas, we are all going to be paying more. And you know, the real other issue is the big companies, the big major companies, you know, they can afford, they have businesses all over the world. They drill in waters and lands all over the world. Mm-hmm. The smaller industry, the mom and pops, you know, the vast majority of the oil and gas industry in this country is small business.
Well,
they don't have a choice. They can't go anywhere.
Let's talk about the action, because one of those small companies, and here's the deal, guys. If you are a medium size or a small business, and the federal government takes all their resources to come after you, it can cost you a lot of money. It can destroy you. And in this one case, I guess, and this was Amadaris, I believe, in Region 6, I believe this guy filed this suit against this petroleum company, this exploration company. They ended up in court for 2 years, and eventually a federal judge threw it all out.
Yeah, well, in the meantime, that whole 2 years is the company's spending its money on lawsuits. The government has unlimited resources. Of course, there are resources. And they're not producing anything, not making a profit. Their family's suffering. They're laying people off. And then for what? Because, you know, all for naught. Because they either have to go bankrupt and basically try and find a living somewhere else, or try and make a go at it, in essence, starting from scratch. And it's a really unfortunate situation. And, again, this is not just an isolated incident. This is one tactic.
Yeah.
Just three rules from the EPA alone, just three rules, would prevent the construction of any new coal plant and knock out, in addition to that, knock out 10% of our current coal electric generation capacity. So those are three rules at the EPA.
Well, and let me just point this out. I mean, the fact of the matter is it's about 60% of our electricity does come from coal. The technologies have increased sufficiently that minuscule amounts of pollution are now being released, unless you want to count carbon dioxide, but that's a byproduct of any human transaction. So the fact is, there's got to be something more to it than that.
Yeah, it's an ideology. It is an anti-fossil fuel ideology that's spurned by the sort of the more extreme elements of the environmental community, and the MoveOn.orgs and the Centers for American Progress and these groups. They don't like fossil fuel. They think that it's
global warming, yeah.
Polluting, global warming, all that.
Here's John Scott talking about the administrator at the EPA who caused the firestorm with his crucified comments. Basically hitting the road, he's gone.
The EPA administrator responsible for the oil patch in this country has resigned. Al Armendariz, the man who made some very controversial comments about his agency's approach to oil companies, has resigned. Here's the tape that surfaced last week that preceded his resignation.
I was in a meeting once and I gave an analogy to my staff about my philosophy of enforcement, and I think it was probably a little crude and maybe not appropriate for the meeting, but I'll go ahead and tell you what I said. It was kind of like how the Romans used to, you know, conquer the villages in the Mediterranean. They'd go into a little Turkish town somewhere, they'd find the first five guys they saw, they'd crucify them. And then, you know, that town was really easy to manage for the next 3 years. And so you make examples out of people who are, in this case, not complying with the law.
Armendariz had become a lightning rod for criticism of this administration and its oil company policies. He now has resigned. He took pains to say they only went after oil companies that were misbehaving, but his own analogy didn't do that. He didn't say, you know, the Romans would crucify the first five murderers they found in a village. He said they would just find five guys, round them up, and crucify them. And that's where the problem in part came in. He submitted his resignation.
Up next, we talk about the problems continuing at the post office. Pretty exciting, huh?
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Mother's Day is next week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing deal. One dozen assorted roses plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 7777. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. Flower prices will skyrocket next week. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. You pick the delivery date, and it's guaranteed. That's one dozen stunning assorted roses, absolutely bursting with color, sent fresh from the fields, and guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days for only $19.99, plus a free glass vase with every order. Remember, flower prices can double, even triple next week, and this incredible special expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to proflowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 7777.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Here we have what is number one on talk radio, talk television, issue-oriented talk media. And that includes the post office this week. Here host Chad Hasty and Rex Andrew talk to Congressman Randy Neugebauer of Texas about a couple of different bills, one in the House, one in the Senate, dealing with the future of the post office.
Congressman, right now it looks like there's a little bit of a battle between the Senate and the House when it comes to the Postal Service. Can you inform our listeners about what's going on and what you think should happen with the Postal Service?
Yeah, the Senate is working on a version basically that would kind of postpone or stall for 2 years any closures of any post offices or processing centers, give them a bailout. I think the House is going to take a much more conservative approach, and I hope that that's true. We're going to have to let the post office fix the business model that they have. The one they have right now isn't working. They're running huge deficits. And so if they have too many processing centers, unfortunately, they probably need to close those. If we've got too many post offices, you know, we may need to consolidate some of those. But what we need to do is let the post office see if they can come up with a model that, one, serves their customers, but secondly, does it in a fiscally responsible way. And so I think there's going to be two different versions, and we'll have to see what the House and the Senate, you know, can work out between them.
In 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, what is the business model for the Postal Service? More and more people are going to online bill pay. They're not sending letters to each other like they used to. They're using email. I mean, everything's either going online, and when people are shipping things, they're going to either UPS or FedEx, it seems. What is the future for the Postal Service?
Well, I think that's what needs to be determined, and you're exactly right, Chad. And one of the things the Post Office sat there and let UPS and FedEx, you know, take away a lot of that shipping business from them. They kind of sat there with an old business model. They didn't adapt to email. They didn't adapt to the internet, and now companies that used to send catalogs, you know, all those catalogs are online. As you say, you've got online bill pay. A lot of documents are transferred via the internet rather than overnight mail. And so I'm not sure what it looks like. But I know some people still utilize the Postal Service, and the Postal Service is going to have to figure out a way to continue to provide service and maybe look at for new opportunities out there. They have a nationwide presence. They have a lot of infrastructure. They have a lot of real estate. You know, what are potential business activities maybe the Post Office could get involved in? But we don't need to continue to let them operate this way, and the taxpayers have to continue to bail them out.
Here's host David Serrata talking about the possibility of more Post Office closings and an end to Saturday delivery.
The Postal Service proposing to close as many as 3,700 post offices and more than 220 mail processing sites across the country. The closings, which may take effect starting in mid-May, had been postponed by a five-month moratorium urged by a group of senators in December. The Postal Service has estimated the cuts could save $6 billion a year to help stave off a default. Do you care? Should we care about the Postal Service in the era of email and in the era of private mail carriers, FedEx, UPS, et cetera, et cetera? Matt Taibbi weighing in on this question, the Rolling Stone muckraking reporter. The headline in his piece, "Don't Let Business Lobbyists Kill the Post Office." He says politics plays a huge part in what's going on with the post office, that it's not just that the Postal Service is losing money because people are more prone to use email. He traces the history of this. In 2006, he says, in what looks like an attempt to bust the Postal Workers Union, George Bush signed into law the Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act. The law required the Postal Service to pre-fund 100% of its entire future obligations for 75 years of health benefits to its employees. And not only do it, but do it within 10 years. No other organization, public or private, has to pre-fund 100% of its future health benefits. Taibbi says the transparent purpose of this law, which was pushed heavily by lobbyists, was to break a public sector union and privatize the mail industry. Before the 2006 Act, the Postal Service did one thing, did it well, and minus the need to generate profits and bonuses for executives, it did it cheaply. It paid for itself and was not a burden to taxpayers. So he basically argues that the requirements being put on the Postal Service to pre-fund 100% of 75 years' worth of health care is essentially a way to make the Postal Service look financially bankrupt when it isn't necessarily. And he says this is all an effort to do the bidding of the FedExes, of the UPSs, etc., etc.
Would you like to find out more about all the items discussed in this hour of the Countdown? Well, you can by visiting the Talk Radio Countdown Show section at DougStephan.com.